Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for trailblazing in all of the greater Portland area. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razorman Cumulus the Third.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing pretty all right. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Okay. I slept way too much in the past 48 hours. There's a lot of rain going on over here, and that's pretty comfortable sleeping conditions, you know? And I woke up for a couple of hours late last night, but then decided to sleep like another 9 hours. It was pretty disgusting. I feel good about it, but I understand that it looks just like really lazy.
Well, as long as you feel good about it, like you're an adult, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm going to eat some ice cream after this, even though it's totally bad for me.
Yeah, that's bad for you, but you can do whatever you like. It's like that T.I. song from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can do what you like. I don't know. Yeah, that's the best, you know, is like, as long as you're not like asleep at work or like asleep so long that you miss work, man, do whatever you like. You can sleep however the hell long you like. I myself don't like naps. I don't like sleep at all. But the wife, she naps like pretty much like 60% of the day. So, and my brother does that too. So, you know, you do you. If you got a nap, you go for it.
I guess it was time. But most of the time I feel like it, your wife or your brother. I just don't want to sleep at all. It's more like you. Like, I don't like sleep. I want to sleep when I'm dead. And I think that sleeping this much is ridiculous. But yeah, here we are. I did. And I'm slowly getting used to the idea.
Yeah, I'm a little bit bummed that there hasn't been, like, a pill invented yet that makes you not need to sleep.
Yeah. It's like in Dragon Ball Z. If you remember, like, the sensu beads.
Hell yeah.
They'd eat those, and they're like, hey, I don't have to eat. Which seems weirder to me. But they had one of those for sleep, where you didn't have to sleep instead. I guess we're talking about, like, no-dose pills, right? Then we're just talking about caffeine pills.
Yeah, they've got that. But you're thinking about Limbra's bread from Lord of the Rings. That was the bread where you just take one bite, and you don't have to eat. You're, like, full. The sensu beans... where, like, if somebody kicked the shit out of you, you could eat a senzu bean, and then you would no longer have the shit kicked out of you. You would be okay.
Well, that's impressive, too. I could use one of those. I thought it was one of those things, like, you just ate a bean, and it was the equivalent of a couple of meals. I thought it was, like, yeah, the Dragon Ball Z take on the elven bread stuff.
Yeah, no, it was like if you were dying, like, if Vegeta, like really fucked you up pretty bad, and you were, like, dying, then you could... eat a senzu bean and you'd be all right. You'd be like full health.
Okay, so it's like a phoenix down then from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, except you wouldn't like, you don't have to be dead. Like phoenix downs, you have to be completely dead.
I'm glad you're educating me on all these, you know, peculiarities because I have them all wrong. So this is nice. It's an education in mythical rejuvenations.
Yeah, I'm very good at these.
Apparently, yeah.
If I was ever sucked into like a cartoon role-playing game dimension, I feel like I would be like a really good alchemist.
Speaking of role-playing game dimensions, I remember when we met, which is like 12, 13 years ago, the game that everyone was playing was Final Fantasy Tactics, which... I think you guys, when I say you guys, I mean like you, Jono, I think even Chase was in there, affectionately referred to as Final Fantasy Tic Tacs.
Yep, yep.
Okay. You played that game a lot, did you?
Yeah, I love that Tic Tacs game.
Okay, I never actually played it. I remember playing Final Fantasy when I was a kid at a neighbor's house. It was on NES, and it was the first time I'd seen... a role-playing game. I think it was one of the first that was popular, so I was able to see it. And I had no idea what was going on. Like, there was a lot of text on the screen, and whenever anybody attacked somebody else, like, the action didn't really seem to take place. It wasn't like Mario jumping on a turtle, and the turtle, like, you know, dying, or a Goomba. So I had no idea what to make of all of this, but that was like Final Fantasy One. And I don't think I got into like role-playing games until, what was it, Earthbound or Chrono Trigger or some of those like mid-90s more experimental games.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy Tic Tacs was everywhere for a while. It just seemed like everybody was playing that.
And yeah, it's good.
What was the appeal? Why did everybody enjoy it?
Because it was like real tactical. It was like a fun game of chess, sort of. Yeah, you know, you had to get the right amount of mages and ninjas on your team in order to achieve success.
It was real tic-tactical.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I just popped in my head recently because I, for some reason, these games have been popping up more and more. I got that Dark Souls 3 game. There's a new Final Fantasy game coming out soon that is more, it's not like a turn-based RPG. You actually run around and hit stuff, but you get points. It's almost like a, like it's veering towards that Dark Souls, I don't know what they call it, real-time strategy, I guess. There's still a lot of statistics and points involved and all that stuff, but it's not exactly turn-based.
I see.
What in the... I'm sorry. I'm a tad distracted because I just saw like two dogs walking around this neighborhood that I'm in right now.
On their hind legs.
Yeah, in full-on suits. You would not believe. That would
be very distracting.
No, there's just two dogs without owners and matching scarves. So they're just out and about fucking around the town.
Man, cool. No gods, no masters. They can do whatever they want.
Right?
Owners?
Yeah.
What, do you think a dog needs an owner? This isn't the 50s Frisbee.
Well, I mean, they have scarves around their necks, so they look like they might be in the 50s or 60s.
Oh, they're wearing those ascots?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool, though.
They're wearing ascots Fitzgeralds around their necks.
Yeah, that was the fashion at the time, of course.
Yeah. Actually, those two dogs would have been like an encounter in a Final Fantasy game, like one of those early on stages. Like, you've encountered a pack of wild dogs or very nicely dressed dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the best part of starting a new role-playing game, is like fighting crabs and rats for like the first 3 hours. Working your way up to fighting a dog and like maybe fighting a dude at some point.
Hey, that was, yeah, that's what I liked about Earthbound, is that they didn't, it wasn't set in this fantasy realm. It was supposed to be like this, well, I guess like a pop culture realm. So you do end up fighting like just an angry dog at first, or this really goofy ass crow character that has sunglasses. And then like one of your first boss battles is a police chief. You have to fight like all of his cops and then the police chief. It was done around like 93 or 94. So a lot of the influence that people were taking from America were, I think like post Rodney King and O.J. Simpson trial. I'm like, wow, LA cops seem really rough. Maybe we should have them as enemies in this game. So they did.
Nice. Cops are always your enemy. They should be the enemy in like every video game.
Maybe, but this was like a band of corrupt cops that you had to fight.
Well, is there any other kind?
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I was just reminded of all that when I was playing this game.
I never played Earthbound, but I always wanted to.
It's a cute game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Other than that, how are things going for you? You do anything fun this week? You do cool stuff?
Yeah, somewhat. When I had the time, I let's see, saw that Purple Rain re-release.
Oh yeah, did you like that? Did you get verklempt?
Oh Jesus, yeah, of course. Like that was basically my childhood up on screen. Not like I was doing the same things that Prince was doing. I'm just saying like that movie was on all the time when I was a kid. Neighbor lady who watched us, raised us and all that, was a huge, huge Prince fan. And so she would have that on all the time. Like there was a summer when that was basically played every day. And I can't remember how I thought of it at the time. I know that I liked like Morris Day and the Time a lot. their scenes because they were comic relief and I was really young, so I didn't get the intense adult moments. I just knew that anytime that Prince had his shirt off, like, it was adult times, you know? And she would try to cover the screen or fast forward or something. So I was like, oh, okay, it's adult stuff. I guess I needn't be concerned. But I liked all the music, especially, like, you know, Jungle Love and the time stuff. But everything else just kind of sticks in your head. Like, when Doves Cry. And I had been hearing a bunch of Prince stuff on the radio and elsewhere. I'd not heard Purple Rain, though, because that was, I could tell that was going to be triggering in some way. It's like, if I listen to this song, I'm going to be a complete mess. And I was absolutely right. Like, when he starts going into chords of that at the end of the movie, that was a fucking disaster. And there was, like, an older woman there who was snapping along with it and, like, clapping along with it. And I was like, I'll try to do this so I don't look like a total disaster. So I was a weeping person snapping my fingers. It was pretty messed up.
I like that. I like that you tried to play it off.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm cool. And no, it was not cool. But I enjoyed seeing it. I had debated whether I should go see it or not. And I just figured, like, when am I going to get the chance again? And damn, like, you can understand why it took off the way it did. Just seeing on a large screen like that. Those are some of the best concert filmed portions in probably, like, movie history. Like, it's no surprise that movie got an Oscar for best soundtrack.
Yeah. And yeah, like, the concert scenes were filmed real well. It's a lot of times you watch a movie where, like, they cut to, like, some concert footage and you're like, all right, now it's time to check out. It's time to pee. But now with that movie, it's like the best parts somehow.
Yeah, it is. It is. And granted, like, all the other stuff in the film, I don't know. Again, like, I'm trying to recapture what it was I was thinking of. And I probably didn't really think of it much. I just figured probably that was, like, the longest music video ever. Because I knew what music videos were. But this guy, Prince, had the longest one. This was probably around, like, 85 or 86. When I was, like, 2 or maybe 3 in 87. So, yeah, I was familiar with his music. And it was the most music that I was hearing at the time because of that influence, because of that, the babysitter. It's kind of like a sister to us now anyway. And, yeah, I just figured, like, Prince was the exception. Prince gets an hour and a half long music video with a ton of songs in it. Which, you know, that seems accurate enough anyway.
Yeah, seems like something he should have. Hey, everybody, it's Parker again. I'm here with former producer Mohammed.
How the hell are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Okay.
Good to hear. We just wanted to pop back in, let you guys know more about these Pool Party Radio shirts. You can go to poolpartyradio.com or htbkicksass.com to order these. They're being done by Hide the Bodies. You know these guys. You love them. They're making the softest shirts. You got the Ghoul Summer shirt. You got the Junk Food Dinner shirts. They're making this Pool Party Radio shirt just as good as those. In fact, don't take my word for it. Muhammad has one. How much do you like this shirt? How much would you pay for one of these, man?
I'll give you $10,000.
Man, you don't even have to give us $10,000 because these shirts are $12, and that's the going price.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Me and Frisbee would be very proud of you guys if you bought one of these shirts. I mean, our hearts already swell with pride over all of you guys. But go ahead and buy one of these shirts.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
All right, we've gone over this. You don't have any part of this anymore.
You don't get a percentage.
No, I get a percentage. I get 50%. Frisbee gets 50%. Hide the Bodies gets 50%.
What gives you the right to be part of this?
Well, I think that I've done a lot for Pool Party over the years. I only have been a part of it for 15 years.
Okay, whatever you think, brother. You're the boss.
Exactly. So anyway, poolpartyradio.com. Find the shirts. htbkicksass.com. Find the shirts. Find the beer koozies. Buy them. Get bigger. Get more muscles. And thanks for having fun. All right, well, let's get into those aforementioned emails. Email, rather. We got an email. We got this one from the Guarcast. It says, "Hey, pool party animals, been catching up on the show today and loving all the Guar name drops. Anytime I hear our lords and masters get mentioned on another podcast besides mine, it restores a little bit more of my faith in humanity. Parker, did you ever find a copy of the Scum Dogs of the Universe record store vinyl day record day vinyl store?" I did not. I didn't look, shamefully. I was too lazy to drive the 8 miles to the record store. But I saw on the internet that Travis, who is writing us this email, got one. And a couple other people got them. So I'm proud of those people. It looked like a nice one. He says, "Anywho, here's some pictures of my wife's fat, lazy cat hot sauce for you to review. This cat spends a lot of time in Hillary Clinton's purse." That's a funny joke that I just made up. Travis didn't make that fun. "Keep up the good work, human filth. Keep crushing that puss. And hail Guar." Travis Olgan. I think the G is hard. Olgan. Of course it would be hard. This man listens to Guar. Olgan from Guarcast and Get Off My Pod. So listen to those podcasts. They're nice. I've listened. I got to catch up, though. This is a nice cat. Are you looking at these cats?
Yeah, not usually a fan of cats, but this one's pretty good.
Yeah, this guy's pretty chill. In this first one, he looks like real lazy. He's like sleeping on some towels, like just real dejected, like he didn't get the Scum Dogs of the Universe record on Record Store Day. And then in this one, he's hanging out in a Coors box, and that's very cute.
Yeah, his name is Hot Sauce?
Yep.
That's a great name. Did you say Hillary Clinton?
Yeah. She carries hot sauce in her purse. Did you not hear about that news story?
No, I remember hearing about that Beyonce lyric about carrying hot sauce in her bag.
Yeah, well, apparently Hillary Clinton was on some show, like some radio show.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, "What do you have in your purse?" And she was like, "I got hot sauce." Like trying to appeal to the young hip voters by...
Oh, referencing that lyric. I see.
So it was pretty panderous. Like, on one hand, I feel like it's pretty panderous and, like, you know, more of this, "Hey, young people, I'm just like you" kind of crap that Hillary Clinton's been doing a lot of. Like, constantly going on Twitter to talk about, like, how health insurance is bae and stuff like that. But also, she's from, like, Arkansas, so she probably does carry her own hot sauce.
Yeah, that might be legit. But I don't know. I didn't hear about that. That's very funny.
Yeah, it was a funny one. What do you give this cat? Would you rate this cat? I would rate this cat 4 out of 5 Guars because I like these long-haired cats that are, like, real lazy and fluffy. Like, that's the kind I like in life.
Yeah, I think 4 out of 5 is good. And the fact that he doesn't, like, look at the camera when he's being photographed, especially in that Coors box.
Yeah. Also, I like his bravery because this Coors box, it's like on top of a different box and it looks like it might fall. But like he's still brave. Like, you know, he's like, "I'm going to play in this box if it falls or what?" Like, I'm not too worried about that. I'm just looking to have fun in life.
Yeah, it's teetering on the edge and he does not care. He just wants to have fun. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I respect him. So thanks for that email. And... should we get into these MVPs?
Yeah, let's go and do that.
We've got MVPs and MVPs. This is the segment where we recount the week's most valuable pool partier and most vile party poopers. I'll go first. I'll go with my party pooper. My party pooper is the Secret Service of America, LLC. A, they're called the Secret Service, which I don't trust. And B, they made it a rule that at the Republican National Convention that's coming up in a couple of months, people will not allowed to bring their guns, their handguns, their concealed carry guns, their shotguns, their Uzis. And I feel like that's some horse crap. Like, I think that the Republicans need to have guns at their Republican National Convention because that's like their whole thing is how much they love guns, how much safer they'll be if everybody had a gun. And this would be a great place to try that out. See if it's true. See what's what. See if it would just be 10,000 people walking around with guns, clanging them together. No violent actions happening. So I think they really dropped the ball on this one. Although I think that it was like the Republicans themselves who were like, hey, we don't want guns here because like we're like total hypocrites, you know? So like, so you got to take the fall on this, Secret Service. You got to say that you made the rule, even though it's us. Because like there was like some fighting, you know, betwixt the Republicans about whether or not there should be guns. And then like the Secret Service came out and was like, nah, no guns. So I think that they pulled one of those. Like when your friend asks you, like when you're like in fourth grade and your friend who like you kind of don't really like, but he's all right, was like, hey, you want to spend the night? And you would like go to your mom and be like, hey, can I spend the night? And you would like kind of give her the wink, like you wanted to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like one of those situations.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, I really wish you could bring a ton of guns to this, but mom and dad are like, hey, don't bring guns, so I guess not, so just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how they reacted.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Like, oh man, we had all our guns ready too. We were real excited about bringing the guns, but, you know, Secret Service, they said no.
Yeah. That is lame. And I mean, it is one of the main issues, but there's so many other issues that they're about. Like, not understanding how restrooms work.
Yeah.
And, making sure that religion is the big thing that they can hide behind whenever they have a problem with anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why they just don't use big microphones like the rest of us. They're using religion over there.
I almost said big microphones, and I was like, that's not what they use. They use something else. Something more supernatural, I guess. And, yeah, you know, they got so many strong issues to care about. Not like, you know, how money's being spent. Frivolous elections based on these hard-hitting issues of like, what's a bathroom? How does religion work? Mm-hmm. You have to have those come first. Not like, where's my next paycheck coming from? How do I use money in this capitalist society? What's health insurance? That stuff can take a back seat. We need to get down to brass tacks and like, how do we control people's lives and who they can and cannot love and all that stuff. Those are the real hard-hitting issues, you know?
Yeah, I actually heard that they are not going to allow bathrooms at this national convention either, just out of fear that somebody, you know, that like a man with slightly long hair, maybe wearing a dress of some sort, will invade their restrooms and completely invalidate their existence by doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their official ruling. I'm reading that right off the press release. Those were their exact words.
So this will be like the most conservative convention then, because they're not going to be able to fire off bullets. They're not going to be able to fire off deuces. So they're just going to be like really strained the entire couple of hours that they're together.
That's true. They're only going to be able to fire off hot takes,
I guess.
Like that civilization will end if we have gender neutral bathrooms.
Yeah. As if like unisex bathrooms have never been a thing. As if like every home has a bathroom for male and female members of the family. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good thing. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. But no guns. Yeah. I don't know why people didn't think that was going to be a thing. Like to bring guns. Like people were going to be totally cool with that.
Yeah. I'm all for, by the way, these gender-neutral unisex bathrooms because as hard as ladies have it in this world, it's a man's world out there, Frisbee.
I heard. James Brown said something about that.
Yeah. But the one place that ladies got it better than dudes is in the bathrooms. Every women's restroom I've ever snuck into has had a couch in it. And it's like, what's with all this ladies' privilege that they get fucking couches in the restroom?
Yeah, I'd seen there used to be, used to be, from what I understand, like there's a waiting room where for most women's restrooms where they can just like hang out. There's a couch there, like a mirror. So it's like a chill out room. And I get that because like you say, it's a man's world. So there's a lot of bullshit that they have to contend with. They could probably do with a women's only resting area aside from like, you know, the toilets and stalls and all that. But then I go to this older building near my work. I have to go there sometimes for work. And there's a really old school bathroom, this men's room. And it's got one of those too. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. There's like a bench and a mirror without a sink in it. And then you go through that. It's like a non-stinky part entryway to the restroom area. Because you go through that door and you're like, oh, okay, there's no urinals here, but there's another door. So I'll go through that one. And that's where like the bathroom ceramics are and the sinks and whatnot. So I guess that's where they intend to keep like all the foul odors. And then you go back to the other one to like do one last pass or, you know, chit chat with your friends. So yeah, that was the first time I experienced anything like that. And it's from like the 40s or probably before that, maybe like the 20s or something.
And that's wild. I never ever in my life encountered a man's bathroom with a chill out room in it.
Yeah. And believe me, this wasn't like a mistaken pass. I'm like, whoops, I guess I'm in the wrong one. I did that. I doubled back when I first encountered because I'm like, this doesn't look familiar. I checked the door. It said men's. And then I went to the other part and it had urinals, which is a very men's room thing. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just like an old school throwback, I guess.
That's wild. I wonder what things were like back in those days where like dudes were like, just congregate. And, like, sit down on a couch and, like, talk to each other, like, while other dudes were taking shits.
Yeah, like, I mean, the walls weren't so insulated, especially from sound, that you couldn't, like, not hear that stuff going on. You know, just people really blasting in the next room over. Like,
and this
wow.
is when dudes ate steak and eggs every day for breakfast. Like, they probably had pretty cool shits, you know? The shits were about
Yeah, it was probably top-notch shitting. Just really splattering everywhere or some gross stuff. I don't know. It would have been allowed. And I just find it funny that guys are like in the next room. Like, so what do you think of that game last night? And trying to be like civil without like laughing at how loud Jerry's poo is going.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, do you ever take a dump at work?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, me too. I like it really makes me happy to get paid to take a dump. So I try to like do it whenever possible. But like if I'm in there and like somebody else comes in to like use the urinal or like just hang out and talk about the game, like it makes me so upset. Like we've talked about this before. Like I can't poop around people like at all. Like
Yeah. You have to shit in secret.
Yeah, I like it to be very secret. I don't like people being around. So I don't like it when I'm in there and people come in. Then like I'm also in there like listening to podcasts while I take a dump. So I like to be alone for that as well. Those are two very shameful things that I like to be alone for.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I really just wish that they would stay out. But
yeah, having like a little atrium or a congregation area. Yeah, I think that would be a really cool design feature to have in a lot of restrooms. I think that's the only place where I've seen that sort of design. And again, like this is something stretching way, way back. So I'm not sure when that changed. But it would be cool to have. If it makes you, well, this probably doesn't help your matters at all. But I have the consideration if, like, I run into somebody in the bathroom, and this happens a bit at work, like, and that person wants to, you know, well, I was going to say shoot the shit, but that isn't, that's a weird pun for this. I'll say, like, they want to talk a bit more. Like, and I know somebody is in one of the stalls or using the urinal, I'd be like, hey, let's take this out to the hallway. And I'll just suggest that we move out so that person can shit in private, you know?
Yeah, you're the real MVP.
Thanks, man.
The P stands for poop.
Most valuable pooper.
You're the most valuable poop.
Speaking of most vile party pooper on my end. I have down Piers Morgan. This week he's been in top form because he doesn't know if he can listen to the Beyonce album or not, because he is fairly racist, or at least has really bad racial views. Did you see any of this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw, like, on Tumblr, somebody was talking about how he said that he liked the Lemonade thing, but he didn't like all the racial stuff involved, and so they were making fun of him. I didn't see, like, a whole big thing about it. I try to steer clear of Piers Morgan news on account of he's, like, the worst human.
Yeah, that's probably accurate, at least for this week. One of his tweets, to wrap up his succinct point, and this is, like, I want to get your take on this, because he's a Britishman. He's a limey. And, God, what was the other fucking slang term that we used?
Salt penis.
There you go. That's the one.
He is a salt penis.
His, like, wrapping it up tweet was, I just prefer my entertainers to stick to entertaining. Call me old-fashioned. What do you think of that?
I think that... I don't know. I don't think that's he used the phrase my.
Yep, that's the one. I underlined that actually because I want it in the old fashioned bit.
He said, "I just like my black entertainers to do a little soft shoe." But I
right? Yeah, call me old fashioned. But I loved it when the colonies would just be on their knees whenever we came through town.
Call me old fashioned, but I think that art is best left to be artless. Let's not put, subjective personal truths in our art.
I'd rather my artists don't draw from any sort of personal experience. Could they all just do Shakespeare? Honestly, I love that I'm doing this without a British accent. Like, I'm trying to affect how Piers Morgan might say this stuff. What I'm thinking of, actually, in the back of my head, as I was doing that, was Dave Foley in that Kids in the Hall sketch where he gives a toast at his daughter's wedding. It's this running bit where people are, like, giving toasts at a wedding reception, and they're all bad. They're all terrible. And Dave Foley's character is, I think, the father of the bride. And he's drunk, and he talks about, like, how his daughter probably isn't a virgin. And he's like, I miss stuff when a girl could be a virgin. And I miss railway travel. So then he wraps it up by saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I long for the days of the virgin and for the elegance of railroad travel. We used to say, quote that quite a bit for people who were a little like this. Who would say old-fashioned, call me old-fashioned. Like, whenever anybody would say that, we would hit back with that quote. Like,
I'm not even sure that's, like, that's not even an old-fashioned thing. Like, if you, like, the old-fashioned was to put a lot of stuff, heavy stuff, in your music and art. Like, nowadays, like, I think the reason people are freaking out about this Beyonce and Lemonade thing, I haven't watched it, by the way, but, like, I think people are freaking out because it's like, in popular music, and I'm going to sound like the oldest grandpa, but in popular music, like, nobody's really saying much. Like, there's not a lot of, like, personal experience, like you say, in it. So when one person does, that's not Taylor Swift, people go, oh, my God, like, this is insane. Like, how dare this person say these things? Because I don't think that we're used to people saying things in popular music.
Yeah, and I think that might be an implication of this. It might be what he was trying to say, but I'm not gonna explain or defend this guy's tweets. Like, he has his own TV show. He probably has some degree of understanding how this stuff gets misconstrued. He probably knew what he was doing when he typed this out. honestly. Like, he knew it was going to get reactions and be reach, like, have this indication of being racially charged, especially in this time when, like, Trump is basically making it easier for everybody to understand, oh, this shit happens all the time. We can't just ignore this stuff now. Like, there's all sorts of people saying dumb shit like this, and yeah, we can't just pass it by. So he knows, I'm sure he knows all of that going into this. Like, it's, he's just trying to create some degree of spin, some degree of attention getting. But it's such a bad target. I did watch the Lemonade video, and if I can do my other MVPP, that's who it is. It is Beyonce, because in like a couple of months' time, when we've lost David Bowie and Prince and these people who changed music forever, music videos, everything music related, like Prince even seemingly more so than Bowie. I never gave him that much credit for all the stuff he did. Not only like with the release of Purple Rain, but just in the 90s of coming out as like an independent artist, wanting to own the master tapes and all that kind of stuff, wanting autonomy. That's something that wasn't really being talked about then, but kind of seems more regular now. And it probably wouldn't have happened without him. Like, you have all these people changing aspects of the entertainment and like how it's done behind the scenes as far as like getting the music out there, like with the movie Purple Rain, a movie that's basically distribution for that album, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I watched Lemonade last night, and I can't really remember anything like this. She calls it a video album, and that seems appropriate. But it's like a mixture of different music videos strung together with narratives. And I thought it was cool because there's like early on, there's even this ghoul narrative, real ghoulish shit. And like there's a piano backing to it that sounds like the Serbian film tones.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. But the way it's composed, the way it's shot, and the way it all connects together as this narrative of like the broadest scope that you can take to this, and this is what I'm surprised that Piers Morgan didn't address or seem to figure out, is you could probably talk about this as the pain and forgiveness that comes along with any interpersonal relationship. That's the most blank way to look at this project. When you get down to it, it's specifically about Black woman's experience in interpersonal relationships. And there's no subtlety to that. There's like quotes dropped from Malcolm X, and very direct appeals about her personal, her marriage. So that's what makes the Piers Morgan thing even more ridiculous, is that he feels left out when it's like, no, she's giving you a window into her own life. The point is that is art. Like, you go to a museum and look at stuff hanging up on the walls, and you're like, I can't get behind this. I had no part in this. I didn't paint this. It's like, you have to... That's what people did this for, is that they wanted some understanding out there. Not to talk about how something was to... like, how you would be ready for a certain jelly or whatever. Which is also what I dig about Beyonce, because that's what I remember her... From, like, that's how I remember, like, growing up, not growing up, but, like, in high school and stuff, she would have these really catchy pop hits, and I thought that was, you know, good for her. I didn't really get her albums or anything, but this is incredibly developed and is a good sign, like, especially with all these people in their heartache saying like, oh, there's never going to be another Prince, there's not going to be another David Bowie. Yeah, there won't be, because that wasn't a specific time of history, and especially like music history. So yeah, there won't be another Prince, there won't be another Bowie, for a multitude of reasons, like especially with Prince's talent. But there are still these artists who are able to manipulate the industry and do exactly what they want in a really cool way. Like, if this is any sign of what she can do going forward, not to say that like release an album just out of the blue without any promotion with music video for each, like she did, what was like last year or something, that in its own is huge. But this is like even bigger to have it on HBO screen. Like, who does that? Who the fuck has that much like gusto and influence to be able to be like, you know what, HBO, you have this free weekend coming up. I've got this really great filmed piece of art that's for my album. Just throw it on there. Give it an encore presentation the next day. And they're like, yeah, whatever you say, man, we'll do that right away. It's like people fall over themselves for this stuff. And that's kind of, when you look back at like the development of Purple Rain, that's how Prince went about that. He was not shy about doing something that massive in design and release. So yeah, that's what I got. Who was your MVPP?
My pool partier is a person who's on the same level, I feel, culturally, as Beyonce.
Yeah.
doing the same type of art, you know, really putting themselves out there for everybody, putting their own personal touch on the art that they put out. And that's the teacher from Tennessee who showed his students Human Centipede Part 2 in class.
What?
His high school teacher.
Yeah.
He showed them Human Centipede 2. And he was suspended Thursday after students reported to school officials that they were shown an, quote, inappropriate film. These fucking narc-ass kids. I don't know about you. But, man, when I was in high school, if somebody showed us, like, fucking Human Centipede 2, like, we would all be like, yo, this rules. If we shut our fucking mouths and don't tell anybody, next week we could watch Human Centipede 3. Like, this is great. But these narc-ass fucking dipshit little kids we got today, they turned this fucking guy in. So now he's suspended. It's not known why or how much of Human Centipede 2 they watched, although I'm guessing with class lengths being 45 minutes roughly, they probably watched the first half of it. According to Fox News, Human Centipede 2 is the sequel to the horror picture Human Centipede.
That's really informative.
Very good journalism.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this dude rules. I think he rules in that he's watching Human Centipede 2 with his students, but I mean, you know, he probably also touches them because he's like a teacher showing his students Human Centipede 2. Like, he's probably this.
He touched their souls, right? He touched,
yeah. At the very least.
He touched their minds at the very least.
But yeah, I think this is great. I would love to hear this guy's reasoning of why these kids had to watch Human Centipede 2. When we all know that Human Centipede 3 has more educational value.
Oh, by the prison system?
Yeah, it teaches you about the prison system and how corrupt it is and things. But Human Centipede 2 teaches you about the darkness of the human soul. So I guess maybe he wanted to teach kids that. But he's still doing it. He's out there. He's trying to teach the kids. I like this guy. I just really want to know why he did this. But
yeah, same.
What were you saying?
Oh, that's all I want to know, too. Like, I am just curious why he showed it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure his book will come out at some point. Maybe we can get this guy on Junk Food Dinner next month for Ghoul Summer.
Now you're thinking. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Maybe we can interview him. But yeah, so I like that guy. I don't know. If you're a parent out there and you heard that, if you're in Dad Hatton and you heard some teacher was showing your kid Human Centipede 2, what would you think? How would you react? What would you do? Email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com to let us know. And with that, I guess that's the end of the show, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, cool. Email us, visit us on Twitter @FinalParker and @CumulusFrisbee. You can still purchase the Pool Party Radio Old Cat t-shirt / Me and Frisbee Beer Cooser at the Hide the Bodies website, htbkicksass.com. the pre-orders are up. But I think they're still going to be around for a bit. Like, as long as people keep getting them, like, they will still be available, you know?
Nice.
So check those out. Or you can find the link on our website, poolpartyradio.com, or on our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Or look at our Twitter timelines. We've been tweeting it. So every time one of those shirts gets bought, I just get so proud of you guys, you know? Like, I'm just so proud of the listeners for buying, wanting a t-shirt to clothe themselves, to keep their skin warm via cotton and polyester. And that just makes me really proud, you know? Shows a lot of growth. I don't know that 5 years ago when we started this show, people who listened would want to wear clothing of any kind. And now here they are, wanting these shirts, wanting to wear them. It just fills me with pride. I don't know about you, Frisbee, but it fills me with pride.
I'm excited for them. I think they'll really like these. And yeah, what's not to be proud of? You're all my special babies getting these shirts and koozers.
Mm-hmm. You are all our children now. I feel like we're living in Dadhattan with the way that the listeners are, in fact, our children.
Yeah, agreed. I can get down with that.
I would take any of you guys in for one weekend a month and 2 weeks every summer. Court pointed right. So.
Well, yeah, you can also reach out to us through Gmail. That's poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter. There's @FinalParker and @CumulusFrisbee.
Mm-hmm. I think I gave those Twitters out already.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
We need a checklist.
I'm not in top form, I guess. I even had coffee before this because I was like, I know it'll get me in top shape. Coffee. No, it just made me anxious and paranoid. So here we are.
You know what gets me in top shape for the show?
What's that?
Toffee, the English chocolate treat.
Is that right?
Yeah, just eat a little toffee beforehand and I'm good to go. Good to record.
Call me old-fashioned, but I like to eat some toffee before the show.
Call me old-fashioned, but I liked it when my musicians just did what I told them to do.
Right, yeah. Under penalty of death.
I didn't like it when these musicians were giving me harsh truths that I don't want to consider.
Call me old-fashioned, but I liked it when court jesters really wore that Harlequin outfit.
Ah, that's Pierce Morgan.
Yeah. What else do we have?
I think that's about it.
That's everything then. Okay.
Go to Podcast Town if you want.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Next week, I'm going to be in LA. Frisbee's going to be busy. No episode, although there might be like a surprise one. Maybe like a tiny little thing. Maybe. Yeah. Sorry. I guess that's about it. For Frisbee and the producer, who wasn't even on this episode, this is Parker saying thanks for having fun.